You and your degenerate friends already waste enough time thinking about disc golf. But just in case, here's some extra material on the Fish Golf Broadcast. Well, go ahead.
Test. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you.
Okay, sweet.
So do the intro. It's your podcast, right?
It's been a while since I've done the intro.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe you should do it. It's been a while.
On this episode of the Fish Golf Broadcast, it's opening day, Zach.
Wah, wah, wah.
So this is going to be our NL preview for the 2024 baseball season. And I have returning guest, Zach Melton.
Hello, hello, hello. Glad to be back on my own podcast. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate
it. You got to be careful if you listen to some back episodes. Paul Uliberry is trying to horn in here too.
He knows not what he speaks of.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
Baseball season.
Dude, it's here.
It's here.
It's exciting.
And 2024 looks pretty darn good. I need you to disclose your biases.
Okay. Go Braves, obviously. Braves country. Grew up, you know, I'm from Northeast Tennessee. We don't really have like a professional team close, but for whatever reason, people are about the Braves there for the most part. It's kind of Braves country.
That's a TBS thing. Ted Turner did it right.
Honestly, like some of my earliest childhood memories are summertime going and staying with my mom's mom. So like my mamma on that side, and like her and my papa were Braves fans. So like watching Braves, you know, in the evening, mm-hmm. sitting in the living room floor, watching McGriff and Maddox and Glavin, you know, and the boys, like that's what I remember, you know? So that's what I grew up on.
All right. Where do you want to start?
Can I start about what I did yesterday?
I guess.
Yeah? Okay. So, obviously, I know it was an American League game, but I, you know.
No. The Astros are in the NL.
No.
What?
No.
No, Jeff Bagwell was in the NL.
Oh, my gosh. Can I tell you something funny? We're at the game, opening day, Astros versus Yankees at the Mini Dome, or Astrodome, sorry. Lil Zach sees a Jeff Bagwell jersey, like 20 rows down. He goes, dude, that dude's wearing a Reds jersey. And I was just like, because it was the old, like, copper. Like,
oh, okay.
You know,
yeah,
the
uh-huh.
alternate. And I'm like, Zach, that's not red. That's not the Reds. He goes, no, it's definitely red. I'm like, just wait till you walk down to go. And he came back. He goes, yeah, dude, not a Reds jersey. I'm like, I know, dude. You see that number 5 in the rafters up there, you know? It says Bagwell. That's a number 5 and a Bagwell, but yeah. No, very cool experience. Finally went to an opening day baseball game. Pretty hype. Obviously, didn't care who won. Gonna lean more towards Astros than Yankees because I hate the Yankees.
Yeah.
Although a lot of people hate the Astros now. But super exciting game. Came down to the 9th. I don't know if you saw the highlights or watched, but...
It was a low light for me personally.
Yeah, but Astros down 1, going into the 9th, get 2 guys on. Dude hits it, pokes one through the second base out to right field. Guy tries to score from second. Bang, bang, play at the plate. Out. Yankees are hype. Yankees win. But pretty fun, though. Pretty fun.
Good. I mean,
good crowd.
It's awesome to have that experience.
Yeah. And there's, you know, that little bit of bad blood between Yankees and Astros. So you could tell, like, Astros fans were, like, hyped when they were up early, like, 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yankees fans up there up top were getting rowdy when they started coming back. But fun times. That
it's
was
just,
cool.
It's distressing how many Yankees fans there are everywhere.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, where are these people from? They get Juan Soto, and now all of a sudden there's Yankees fans everywhere. Sorry, I know we're going to the American League, but...
No. The Astros are in the NL.
Oh, correct.
Craig
bad.
Biggio was
yeah.
in the NL.
Yeah, he played catcher.
That's a good pull. All right. Where would you like to start?
I feel like we got to go NL East, you know?
Okay.
Let's start there.
That's what we finished on last year, so we'll go right back. Which team?
How did you feel about the Braves offseason? They didn't need to add anything. You know, they're still going to be good. They definitely needed some things, you know what I'm saying? But, like, it was kind of disheartening to see other teams, like, making moves, and we're just, like, chilling. And but, yeah, how did you feel about it, honestly?
Okay, so for additional context for our listeners who don't really watch or follow baseball that much, the Braves have been on a run of division titles. They keep winning the NL East.
We're back.
But the last 2 years, 22 and 23, they've been eliminated in the playoffs by division rival Philadelphia Phillies.
God.
And that has led to some significant angst among Braves fans about the franchise. And, you know, people just kind of navel-gazing about the the playoffs are broken because underdogs are winning too much. And to some extent, I think that's true. Like, I like a four-team playoff because we want the regular season to matter.
Yes.
That is a marathon with each game being not that deterministic. In football, the best team wins the vast majority of each individual game. In basketball, the same thing is true, assuming each team is trying, right?
That's an assumption, but yes.
But in baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates can go play the Los Angeles Dodgers, and if they sweep the series, that happens sometimes.
Doesn't matter much, but it's good for them for that week.
Exactly. Like, the other 159 games matter more in the context of the season.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of, it cheapens the playoffs when more teams, we're up to six in each league, are getting in.
Yeah.
And it pushes us closer to like the NBA bullshit where half the teams get in.
Yeah.
And it's lower quality. And what we were sold was more teams are going to try to be competitive, but instead it's led to more teams trying to win 86 games.
Yes.
And sneak in.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. I agree with you. The regular season doesn't matter as much because we're just 2 years in a row, we're kicking their ass all year, and they like limp in and like have a good last month, and then they turn into a freaking monster for 2 weeks, and it's like, what the heck, bro? Like, y'all weren't good near as long as we were, but it, you know, but at the end of the day, they still beat us.
Depth is getting us there.
Yeah.
And then our top-end talent hasn't been quite healthy at the right time. Pitching injuries in particular.
That's
whereas
true.
The Phillies have been able to roll out Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola, and then all of a sudden they just had a firepower bullpen. Dave Dombrowski knew what he was doing when he hired that bullpen.
He did good.
I don't think the Braves had to move very many pieces. I wanted a high-end starting pitcher.
How do you feel about Chris Sale?
And the Braves got that in Chris Sale. He has been like AL Cy Young front runner for like 6 years in a row, but injured the last few.
Yeah.
I would be totally comfortable if the Braves gave him weeks off, gave Charlie Morton starts off,
yeah,
made sure that Spencer Strider didn't pitch every start in August, if that meant that those guys were going to be
fresh in September
and October.
Yeah, I was talking to someone about, right after they got Sale, and I was like, I'm actually pretty hyped. I'm like, I'm up on Chris Sale because he's had a great career. He goes to Boston, big payday, but he's got to be the guy. He's number one. They need him out there, and he's had some bad luck. And you don't know if that's like maybe he tried to pitch through some stuff, trying to get out there, trying to be available. And now I feel like he can be like our three guy. Like there's way less pressure on him, and I think I'm hopeful that he will just flourish in that, especially in that environment. Like I feel like we kind of have a fun team to be around. It seems like guys enjoy playing there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm kind of hyped for Chris. I'm hoping he has a bounce back.
The writing that I've seen so far has been that he's meshed well and is enjoying that environment. He seems to be a very, very serious competitor on his start days.
Yes. Yeah. He's like one of those guys you don't talk to. You don't talk to. You don't look at. You don't walk by. You don't give him a pat on the butt. Like you let the big dog eat, you know?
The other weird part about the Braves' offseason transactions is that they were just like shuffling and shuffling and shuffling. They picked up Jared Kelenic from the Mariners and Marco Gonzalez, a couple other spare parts. They got Matt Carpenter and just like weird salary dump stuff. And it was just like all of these little moves that I couldn't tell what the direction was. And I think we got some good prospects back.
Yeah.
I think something very interesting that I mentioned earlier on this broadcast, a broadcast about Jared Kelenic, is that the Braves were specifically targeting him. They weren't just trading to win the offseason. They were targeting players.
They knew what they wanted.
So they must see something in some of the like less apparent stats or something about his swing profile that they thought they could tweak and get more out of it than the Mariners were.
Yeah, he definitely, I think, was a guy a couple of years ago had some promise. He's had a couple injury bugs, too, I feel like. So, yeah, there's got to be something they see that they're like, this is him, or we can do something with him, you know? I feel like they've had pretty good success with that.
And it would be kind of sweet if somehow he just, like, beat up on the Mets, since the Mets traded him.
Dude, that's just, is there a more fun team to just see the downfall of than the Mets? There really isn't. They think they're there. I feel like the Mets are like, they're like food snobs, but with baseball.
So we'll get to the Mets in a moment.
Sorry.
But there's so much to like about what the Braves have done locking up their young core and potentially a couple more to go. This is Max Fried's walk year. You like to think that Spencer Strider adding the curveball is going to make him even more dangerous.
Yeah.
For the Braves, I'm not as, like, we got a World Series championship. I'm not saying coast on that.
No.
But being competitive every year and having a fun team to root for
is nice.
That's all I want.
Yeah, it's nice.
I want Ronnie to stay healthy and try to back up that NL MVP.
Yeah, there were some down years. We had a nice little lull. So it is, I guess we got to make sure we don't get, like, spoiled, because it is nice having a fun team to watch. They just look like they enjoy playing the game, and that's what I love. When I watch sports, whether it be basketball, football, whatever, I'm drawn to teams where they look like they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah, so. No doubt. And rotation depth, I think, is important. You know, we mentioned kind of the top four. Reynaldo Lopez has kind of switched to starting, and then last year's all-star Bryce Elder, probably going to be the next guy up if somebody's hurt or needs a start off. A.J. Smith-Shawver gets another year of development. Hurston Waldrop, who was at University of Florida last year, is already up in the high minors. Like, there might even be more help coming.
Dude, what happened to Ian Anderson? Injury?
Injury.
Yeah, right.
He had Tommy John.
And he just had a tough go of it.
Yeah, his release point was always pretty extreme. Straight over the top.
Straight over the top.
But then, like, last year, it seemed like the peripherals portended that he was gonna get hit hard, and that, you know, ultimately it was an injury concern.
Yeah, feel bad for him.
Showed up big when we needed him in the playoffs. Desperately want him to have some success and not turn into another Michael Soroka.
Yeah,
or,
oh,
like,
gosh.
So, you know, the long lineage of Steve Avery or something like that. Mm-hmm. And other injured guy, Waskar Ynoa, back from injury in the high minors now.
Well, yeah, rooting for him. That's definitely a name that pops it. Like, we've had some kind of some unfortunate breaks with the pitching staff last few years, so.
And that's also every team. Every team can say
every
that.
Team, like, yeah. Honestly, like, I love, so I listen to J.J. Redick. Hate Duke, bro, but love his podcast, right? And he says, he always says, like, when it comes down to who wins at the end of the year, you have to have breaks go your way. And then when people just go off in the comments, like, bro, there's not luck. It's like, no, there's absolutely luck. It's like, who gets less bad luck? You know, it's not that the teams don't earn it, but, like, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah,
everybody,
like,
gets it.
You have to build your roster to give yourself a chance to win. And then, you know, every now and again, two guys being out craters a team.
Yeah.
And you have to patchwork together a pitching staff or something. All right, so let's go on to the Phillies, since you had brought them up.
Oh, man.
They're so fun.
Oh, they're so frustrating.
Right?
I know. They're like the best 87 win team ever.
I would like to posit that a must read for everybody is entitled, "Is the Phillies Good Luck Charm a Dedication to Himbo Culture and Showing Clavicle?" It's by Kelsey McKinney of Defector. And it is an in-depth exploration of, in particular, Nick Castellanos unbuttoning several buttons on his shirt. And, you know, this may not be the case with the new Fanatics uniforms, that who knows what those are going to be like.
I hear they're made of plastic.
Plastic. eventually, the entire team was starting to unbutton at least a couple and showing a lot of chest.
They were feeling themselves.
and like, is that materially different than Jock Peterson wearing pearls?
Puka shells?
Yeah.
Dude. It's like, yeah, they started feeling it, and it's like, you, I'm going to be honest, when we, leading up, I was like, we're going to play them in the playoffs, like, you see it coming. I was nervous of them, and rightfully so. They I don't want to say they have our number, but it's just like, they, you just saw this machine, and they were just feeding off each other.
I feel like we had this conversation at USDGC. A spotter during practice rounds asked me, like, what I thought about the Phillies, and I was like, I'm terrified of them. He's like, oh, we got them all year. We're going to beat them. And then, like, they came out and waxed us. They also have a really good core. It is substantially older than the Braves. Trey Turner is legit. Bryce Harper seems like he's fully back from injury, playing first base possibly for the rest of his career.
Yeah. Doing okay at it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Probably will get better. He's an athlete. He's like a guy you want to hate on, but he's a baller. He really is.
And he's the rare player who's comfortable being a lightning rod, and it doesn't affect his performance.
Yeah. Yeah, he fills that role for the team for sure, while also being a stud.
Kyle Schwarber. Worst defensive player in baseball last year by defensive outs above average. Saw the most pitches per plate appearance of anybody in the majors. Hit under 200 as a leadoff hitter and was still...
Was he second in homers? You know,
something like that. 48 or so?
Yeah, I think he was second behind,
Matt Olson, we didn't even, like, the Braves have so much ludicrous depth that we didn't mention Matt Olson.
We didn't mention Matt, who, like...
or Austin Riley. Or...
Yeah, like, if you... Yeah, I forgot about him, because, like, he was mentioned, like, he was never mentioned in the MVP, and you look at that season, it's like, how the hell is he not?
But he was kind of up there, but...
Everybody put him at number four, just, right. like, to feel nice about including him, but yeah, for sure. Yeah, Schwarber, I don't understand. What a... Gotta be, like, an old-school baseball... coaches like just worst nightmare.
Oh, they hate it.
They hate him. They hate him that they have to play him.
But you know, you can say this is an analytics thing. How can a player doing that? Like, he still gets on base at a good clip and he sees a lot of pitches. There's a lot of value in that. If your starting pitcher is frustrated throwing 6, 7, 8 pitches,
dude,
and the next guy up is Trey Turner, then Bryce Harper, and like keep going down the lineup.
He's got to be infuriating and also, like, your favorite player at times. It's like he does a couple things so great where he wants to be, and then also it's like, oh, he struck out for the 170th time.
Yep.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's wild. And he can't pick up a ball. But.
So Bryce Harper playing first base means that you can DH Schwarber a fair bit of the time.
Yeah.
You still have to hide Castellanos in the outfield.
Somewhere,
but if Brandon Marsh gets to slide over to left, I want to talk about the Phillies' center field situation. To me, this has always seemed like a black hole since maybe Shane Victorino.
Yeah, since the flying Hawaiian left.
Yeah, Odubel Herrera had some promise, but then he got arrested on an assault case and kind of washed out of baseball pretty quick.
Yeah.
Like, they played 10 players in center field in 2021 and collectively were trash.
They played 10 players.
Matt Vierling, Roman Quinn, Scott Kingery, Ben Revere was okay for a little bit. Adam Haseley.
About Ben Revere. He was a glove, but he didn't bring anything at the plate.
He tripled sometimes. That was fun.
Occasionally.
I wonder if Johan Rojas is the real deal out there.
That's wild that they started 10 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can't get any worse this year. They might as well roll the dice and go with it for a little bit. Did they put Bryce in center?
He might have slid over there in an emergency.
Like in a fill-in spot. Yeah.
Yeah. But if Rojas can be out there, he covers a lot of ground, and that means that you can shade Castellanos more toward the line. You can let Schwarber play a little deeper than you ordinarily would want a player to.
Like near the water jug.
Yeah. Just set him up there in the front row, maybe.
Yeah.
And then two big signings or extensions, Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, brought them both back. That's tough. That's tough for us as a Braves fan. Mm-hmm. If you're a Phillies fan, you're hyped. You're very excited. Will that help them exceed 88 wins this year in the regular season? I don't know.
I really hate the amount of sass you're giving because it only...
I know.
It looks very bad for this professional production.
Yeah.
If you malign them at this time.
And then they get us again.
Uh-huh.
Really hyped for the Phillies. Probably going to win the division.
That's the spirit?
Yeah. They look unstoppable.
A couple other things to mention. Christopher Sanchez is really good. Rookie pitcher. And he only has one H in his last name, Christopher. I think that they also have a couple other arms coming up. I want to say Andrew Painter, if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, Painter's solid.
And then who's their lefty? That's fine. Anyway, like, this is a sneaky deep pitching staff. I would not write these guys off. I don't think that they have quite the bench pieces, but clearly they have shown that they can be a danger in the postseason with their top-end talent.
Yeah, even if they have an injury or two, if they can just make it to the end of the year, snag a wild card, they're just as dangerous, I feel like, as we are, honestly.
Okay, let's slide over to the Mets since you mentioned them as well.
Oh,
what's
man.
Your feeling?
Dude, dumpster fire.
How quick did the fortunes shift up there?
It's wild. What all the Mets talk that was going on last year before the season, and then you just fast forward 365 days, dude. Just, I feel like, total reversal.
Completely. You know, Steve Cohen comes in and wants the big splashy signings.
Yep.
So they won a couple off seasons there by getting Scherzer and Verlander, extending Francisco Lindor.
Yep. Big money. And then they ate it.
But the further away we get from that 2022 season where they jumped up by 18 wins and then immediately receded, I wonder if that's kind of looking like the Giants 2021 where everything just played perfectly, but it wasn't sustainable.
Yeah, just like all the pieces fit at one time, and then, yeah, that was their moment for sure. I feel like they got some good pieces back for the, you know, Verlander and but like they oh, they had to eat some money to get rid of them to get those pieces back.
Well, that's what happens when you sign pitchers for 43.
Yeah.
I'd like to trace a little thread here about solid starting pitchers that the Mets have had over the last, say, 5 years. You know, we know they had Jacob deGrom.
Stroman.
They had Scherzer, they had Verlander. Like, those were big, splashy signings, or in deGrom's case, homegrown talent. They had Marcus Stroman, they had Taijuan Walker, they had Chris Bassett, who I believe he led the AL in innings pitched last year. Michael Wacha, Steven Matz. Like, they let all of these guys go. And no, you shouldn't build your starting staff with all number three guys.
Right.
But you've been rolling out David Peterson and Tyler McGill and Cookie Carrasco. Like, there was a better way. But I think the Mets were so committed to, we are going to sign the biggest names we can,
yep,
that they forgot you need six or seven starting pitchers.
Yeah, it's like he wanted to channel the Yankees from the, you know, 2000s and late, you know, 2010s, where they just like were throwing money at everybody. I think he just wanted New York behind him. He's like, if I just throw this money around, people are gonna love it.
And like,
it did work. There was a lot of hype.
Let's not be glib about it. Like, if they had won the World Series in 2022,
it would have been worth it.
Everything,
all of it worth it.
Yep.
So many teams would love to just have the one. So it that's what everybody's fighting for, is just that one.
Yep. Would you extend Pete Alonso?
Man,
this is kind of in the spirit of
Schwarber. A little bit.
I think he did
Schwarber's
have some.
Schwarber's more valuable, I feel like. Gets on base a little more. But
Alonso also had some bad batted ball luck last year.
Yeah, loves the home run derby.
If you're Steve Cohen and the objective is, like, get the public opinion on your side and be able to re-compete it again in a couple years,
yeah,
you probably have to. It's where the Nationals were years ago, with they let Harper walk. They let Rendon walk. They traded Scherzer and Turner.
And Soto. Yep. And now everybody's like, why do we follow this team? Why would we do this? Why would we commit our time? They probably got to keep, I mean, they've you know, let everyone else go or traded. So they probably, like you said, they're going to be like, why? Why be invested?
Yeah. But
they got to keep somebody.
Perhaps this year's large free agent market suggests that the demand for long-term contracts at high prices might not be there.
No.
So,
seeing a change. Scott Boras rolled some dice this offseason and didn't come back well.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't really understand the J.D. Martinez signing. You know, you're spending quite a bit on a veteran.
It's an overpay.
In a year that you're not expecting to compete. And he's kind of crowding out at-bats for your guys like Brett Beatty, Mark Vientos, Francisco Alvarez.
Yeah, could just be one of those things where, like, maybe bring some fans in. Look, we got a big name guy, you know, even though JD's well past. I mean, he's a solid player, but he's not the guy who was in Boston shredding. Was that 5-6 years ago, whatever? Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't really make sense other than the fact of, like, look at this flashy name. You know?
Sure.
It's a name.
So their pitching staff is set up to be Luis Severino, Sean Manaea, Tyler McGill, David Peterson, Adrian Houser. I don't feel terrible about that. But I feel like it's going to get you a lot of five innings with a 4.50 ERA.
Yeah, never going to go through the lineup a third time, probably. But it's kind of how everybody's going.
It is.
Besides, like, you know, the one or two dogs on each staff who's got, you know, like if Freed's filling it or whatever, you know. Like, most people, they're pretty iffy about letting their guy go past five.
I think I'm less concerned about the number of innings since, you know, there are a lot of bullpen horses out there. It's more the quality of those innings. Yeah. Are you giving up 3 runs? Are you giving up 4 or 5? Like,
yeah.
There's a point when...
And then what's your team putting up?
So yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, let's swing over to the Marlins. They just made the playoffs with the worst run differential of the wild card era, and it's almost like they felt rewarded for their bad behavior.
They're like, YOLO. I know.
Unfortunately, they've experienced some pretty bad injury luck on their young pitching staff. This team knows how to develop pitchers. They cannot develop batters. Some of their pitchers out right now. Sandy Alcantara, Yuri Perez, Braxton Garrett, Edward Cabrera.
All homegrown.
Yeah. Alcantara came back from the Cardinals in a trade.
Right.
For a particular Marcel Ozuna, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Trevor Rogers is pretty good. Jesus Luzardo is pretty good. But, like, what's the point in having all of this young talent if you never come up with hitters who are good? And you follow other sports more than I do, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
People have wanted to play for the Heat, and maybe that was just, like, the perfect time and place.
Right.
I think people want to play for the Dolphins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Like, you've seen some players come there. It's like, oh, dude, this is Miami. It's, you know, come here. We're in Florida. It's nice. Like, come play. But, yeah.
But there's never really been a fan base for the Marlins. No. Their park
even
is
when
so
good.
Bad for hitters.
Even when they're good.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I know it's NL, but it's also, like, it reminds me of the Rays. Like, even when they're good, dude, they just don't attract fans. I don't know why.
Yeah, I just don't feel like there's a lot of immediate future here, or in the long term, if they can't figure out how to develop position players, and if their ownership isn't willing to commit
a little bit, you know, like, it doesn't you don't have to be the Mets, but you also don't have to be, like, the lowest, you know, just try a little. Watching your team lose 2-1, like, three times a week,
goddamn,
it's hard to bring
it's very
fans
stressful.
To the freaking ball club or the stadium.
I believe we talked about Kim Ng last year being such a good general manager for the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, groundbreaking, obviously. This year, she's gone because she resigned because ownership tried to basically, like, hire somebody directly above her. And it wasn't clear why.
It was a strange move.
Yeah.
After she had done well, it's not like...
Just made the playoffs. Yeah. I know I said that's being rewarded for bad behavior. Look at this fucking jersey.
Oh, my God. Who is it?
Biggio sucks!
Go Stros! Go Stros!
Well.
That dude looks really upset.
That went about as well as I thought it would.
I probably should have been one to yell it. Yeah, this guy just mean mugged us for about 6 seconds after you. The group walking by, they loved it. One guy said, you can't say it, but then they're like, let's go, you know. I hit him with a ghost rose, which went over well yesterday. Dude, poor planning. I flew down here for Texas States. Really, if I'd known I was going to go to an Astros game, would have flown with the Braves jersey.
The Acuna, probably, yeah.
Yeah, or Strider.
Yeah,
one of the two.
There you go. Okay, let's go to the Nationals. There's not a whole lot to talk about here. They spent less than $10 million on free agents. No notable major league level trades.
They spent that
much? Yeah.
Wow, deep pockets.
I think we're still a little bit away from seeing if the Soto haul really paid off. CJ Abrams and Mackenzie Gore seem pretty solid.
Solid. But Abrams was supposed to be, like, the piece.
Yeah.
And he's solid, but, like...
His value is tied up in speed right now.
Yeah, you're hoping to see more growth from CJ. I think I agree with you. It's too early. I feel like it could be another 2-3 years before you really know. I felt like the haul looked weak, but I feel like they knew they had to move Soto.
Well, you get volume. You get 7 guys and hope that a couple pan out.
And they kind of lost the timing of it. Like, he was going to get out of there, so teams knew, like, all right, we don't have to really go after him.
They also have Keibo Ruiz and Josiah Gray. I think those guys are decent, but
do you think they regret letting Anthony Rendon walk?
God, no. That dude doesn't want to play baseball.
Did you see that quote from him recently in the last month? Baseball has never been a priority. Something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
If I was the Angels, I think I would just, like, drop kick his ass out of the door.
If the check's clear, God damn it.
Dude.
Lane Thomas is also a pretty good player.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Dylan Cruz can be working his way through the minors and, like, why not play him?
Yeah, they're, God, who was it? Someone on the TNT that, you know, they talking about, I think that they used to always make a joke about the Orlando Magic. They'd be like, oh, they're 3 years away from being 3 years away. I think that,
there you go.
That goes with the Nats.
I'm Ben Calloway, and I listen to the Fish Golf broadcast while I shop for new tires.
I'm Jake Brown, and I listen to the Fish Golf broadcast while I do the dishes.
You know, I spent all of Season 1 in this very ad break saying that we would never barrage you with 11 minutes of droning external ads. But lately, I've had a change of heart. The integrity of this show absolutely has a price. We're talking Lake House money. Private island money. Lake House on a private island money. But until that hypothetical benevolent corporate overlord speaks up, though, this show is entirely supported by your support of me and my sponsors. Fish Stamp Discraft Discs are available in-store and online at daddydiscgolf.com, dischub.com, and treemagnets.com, and fishdiscgolf.com when I'm not traveling. You can save 10% at Grip Equipment with the code FISHGIFT10 at checkout, unless you're a fool who likes spending full price on disc golf bags. And of course, our name is derived from Disc Golf Bra, whose media channels and website you should visit for outstanding New England content. And now, more mutual hostility between Fish and the guest.
Okay, let's swing over to the NL Central. Zips projections has all teams in an 8-game spread. There's a lot of parity here, but it's not a very, it's not great.
That's a toss. Like, man, you could just take a little die, you know, with like each team on it and just toss them and be like, bro, I don't know who's going to win the division. But, you know, there's some favorites, but yeah, it's, I think injuries will be a, like who gets the injury that really fucks the team over and then they just plummet, not plummet, but you know.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about the Cubs. Maybe the favorite in the division. Sure seems like they're spending in like the Joe Madden way.
Also got a little momentum, I think, from the end of last year. Like they
potentially
started slow and then kind of made a push. Didn't quite finish the push, but I feel like they felt momentum there in Chi-Town, I think.
Yeah, and so they just got Craig Counsell as their new manager. Lured him over from the Blue Jays with, I think, the highest manager.
World Series hero, Craig Counsell.
Batting stance.
I watched
for the
it
ages.
Live. Were you watching it?
Yeah.
Do you
course.
Remember it? Uh-huh. Yeah, dude. Little slapper.
Their most interesting signing to me was 4 years, $53 million for Shota Imanaga, who has struck out two batters per inning in spring training.
He's cooking.
Yeah.
He's cooking.
I'm not sure I believe in a whole lot of the pitching staff. Justin Steele was solid. He had a 306 ERA and 302 FIP. But then after that, it's like Kyle Hendricks. We're counting on Kyle Hendricks still.
Yeah, again, like you said, that three guy who you're just, you got to count on for innings and for being super solid. This is going to sound bad.
Go.
What happened to Stroman?
Well, he's with the Yankees now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yes, yeah. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people wanted them to pay him, but they weren't. I was like, there's no way they'll pay him. And Cody, like it just wasn't gonna happen.
Yeah, Stroman.
Yeah,
he's getting a little older. You know,
always been a little undervalued. I feel like he goes out, eats innings, and
he was always painted as kind of a malcontent, and I think that was not a great portrayal.
Yeah, I never know. Like, you just never know if those things are true. But like,
unless you're in the clubhouse, no. He also dealt with some injuries. I think he only had 20 some starts last year.
Last few years, he was yeah. They lost him, but count on Hendricks.
So you mentioned Cody Bellinger. What do you think about his re-signing? Another of those Scott Boras clients.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if I was a Scott Boras was my guy. You know, he's preaching like hold out. We're gonna get that money. But man, I really thought Cody was gonna get a bigger deal somewhere else.
What did he get? 381.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. Like, let's not feel bad for the guy. You know, he just
he's
got
gonna eat tonight, folks.
He's living okay. You know. Probably not out of a van, but I expected him to go somewhere bigger. I expected someone to see his little bit of resurgence with them, kind of take a leadership role, and kind of it was good to see him do that because he looked pretty rough with LA a couple years ago. So
this is an example of where analytics probably hurt him, because in negotiations people would probably look at his batted ball stats and see there wasn't a lot of hard hit there.
Right.
A lot of his value was in making contact, having a high batting average, not the slug.
Still good to see him bounce back. Will he continue that, or will he slump off again? I don't know. I kind of thought after that year in LA, I thought injuries, you can just tell, you can kind of see injuries take hold with a guy, and it's just like,
they never have it again.
It's hard to come back. Yep. It really is.
Three other pretty decent regulars, Nico Horner, Ian Happ, Seiya Suzuki. Any thoughts?
I'm a Horner fan, for sure. Like him, plays hard. Suzuki is interesting. Like, you don't really know about these Japanese guys that come over, and it's like, are they going to be like, after, you know, like a couple of the Ichiro and Matsui, it's like, dude, who's going to be that next guy? And I feel like you've had a lot of nice guys. You just have that next guy.
Yeah. I feel a little bit about Suzuki as I did Masataka Yoshida in Boston, where like you see the flashes of it, but they
just not every day.
Not every day. He had a couple good stretches last year. So like there's an integration process. He should be more comfortable in the clubhouse and, you know, in the schedule of the season.
Yeah, it's for the flashes that you see, it's odd that you also forget about him sometimes.
Yeah, no doubt. Where do you want to go next in the Central?
Pittsburgh?
Okay. So they were 76 and 86 in 2023. I feel a little bit optimistic about these guys. And it's probably not here yet. You know, I...
3 years away from being 3 years away?
They might be. But
nah,
like,
not that bad. Maybe two.
Ke'Bryan Hayes stole the gold glove from Nolan Arenado.
Theft.
He didn't hit that great. O'Neill Cruz is back from last year's injury.
I want to see a full year of O'Neill Cruz. I want to see what that looks like.
Jack Sawinski hits the ball hard. They extended Mitch Keller. Really solid pitcher. 4 years, $71 million.
Not bad.
He threw 194 innings of .388 baseball in 22 and 23.
190 innings in like 2023 is like 250 in like 2000, I don't know. Like 190 innings is like, dude, that's our inning eater. That's our guy. Very solid.
Yeah, like innings are a very valuable commodity, especially if the ERA is in threes. Anything in threes, I'm fine with now. Like
you're an all-star.
Yeah. Henry Davis potentially moving to the outfield full-time. That hopefully will free him up from the grind of catching.
Yeah. You feel bad for catchers, man. You got to feel bad for them.
And then another of their top picks, Paul Skeens, seems like he might be close to major league ready. And again, why not bring him up?
Yeah. The question is with Pittsburgh, I feel like it's always like, are they going to keep the guys that they develop? Which they did with Kutch, but I can't think of really another like a really good young player they brought up, they developed, and then it's like, yeah, we'll pay you a little bit, we'll keep you.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's like, there goes Garrett Cole.
Yeah, I thought about Garrett, yeah.
They made the big trade for Chris Archer, but that never quite panned out.
Yeah.
So, Kutch sitting on 299 home runs, coming back from injury. Just let's get into the milestone. Even if they're not competitive, like,
let him walk off into the sunset.
Exactly.
I like him. I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm. He won't
couldn't pull for him when he was with the Phillies. You know, he cut the dreads, went, you know, clean cut. I'm like, bro, can't pull for you right now, but yeah.
All right, I mentioned Nolan Arenado. Let's jump over to the Cardinals.
Okay.
Arenado and Goldschmidt still anchoring the corners.
Just studs, dude.
But they're getting a little bit older. They started to show it a little bit last year.
Yeah, I think it's like once you've been around for that long, like you don't quite have the physical gifts that are just effortless. So I think now it's more the veteran savvy of figuring out how to get it done still. But you can definitely see, if you pay attention, you can see some. Although Goldie with a nice little homer in the opener yesterday.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Smacked it out of the park.
Rest of their pitching staff, they got Sonny Gray, who was second in the AL Cy Young. 279 and 32 starts. Added a sweeper at age 34 or something.
Yeah.
And then they still have Steven Matz. They got Kyle Gibson from the Orioles and Lance Lynn, who had like a 6 ERA last year.
Oh, my gosh. Gave up like 82 home runs last year.
Yo. I'm not totally sure I believe in that pitching staff.
No, and it's weird because like I've never felt like you could go this many seasons in a row counting the Cardinals out. Not that you're counting them out, but typically it's like, okay, everyone in the Central is chasing the Cardinals. I feel like my whole life, it's been everyone's chased the Cardinals.
Yeah, and that was so farm system driven, where they would be
with good pitching and good play. Yeah, they grew it all. So
they've got a few young guys. They extended Tommy Edman. Lars Nootbaar is a pretty established regular by this point.
Yeah,
Jordan Walker and Mason Wynn got called up last year. Mm-hmm. Didn't really perform, but
I'd like to see year two for Jordan though.
Yeah,
I like him. I'm high on Jordan.
I'm not convinced that I see a great bridge between the established vets and the unproven rookies though.
Yeah, if they don't pan, then the season will be very mid.
Yeah,
they don't pan out for sure.
Let's go over to the Brewers.
Hold up. Over under. What's the line for homers given up by Lance Lynn?
This is such a tough question because, like, you give up too many, you don't get to pitch anymore.
I know. Well, you would think that, but dude got traded, dude got paid. Like, he's still, yeah, he got paid. Like, I'm like, am I missing something here?
You know? If he throws 100 innings, I say he gives up 25 home runs.
God, I can't argue. I like it. I'm with you.
That's on the Bly Levin rate.
Maybe he'll prove us wrong, but I don't think he's going to be the Lance Lynn from Chicago from like 5 years ago.
Or the Lance Lynn from the Cardinals.
Before the shot, yeah. He's back.
Okay, the Brewers. I think their window is closed. Devin Williams is injured. They traded Corbin Burns. There's so little pop in this lineup. Like, William Contreras, our boy.
I miss him.
He was clearly above average. Sal Frelick was solid in part-time. Reese Hoskins.
Are they still playing, like, three catchers?
I think so, yeah.
Sorry, I had to throw that out there. That's it's a bold play.
Christian Yelich and Willy Adames are solid, but nothing super special. Like, Adames is good. They won 92 games, but their offense ain't it.
No, they did that with pitching and timely hitting, but they're not an offense you're scared of.
No. And, you know, Freddie Peralta and Aaron Ashby are good parts of a pitching staff. I think the most compelling thing about their offseason was Jackson Chourio. They signed him to a huge extension. So, like, more of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. I think I could see the Cardinals surging past them just because it seems like the Cardinals sometimes just put it together. But I don't know. I feel like Milwaukee also will just surprise you sometimes. It is a toss-up, I feel like. It's tough with this division. You don't know what's going to happen. But I would lean towards – I would be surprised if they won 90 games again, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if they do well, like mid-80s is where they're cruising, if they do well.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a you wait and see. You get to near the trade deadline, and if they need a bat, maybe
they bring
got
in a bat
pieces.
That could change the whole team.
Absolutely,
but they don't have the bat right now.
Not currently. Somebody who has a profusion of bats and their pitching is not good. The Reds. I'm actually the highest of anybody in this division. I'm the most excited about the Reds' potential.
You don't know what could happen. They're fun. They're fun, dude. Like, I've been hearing little Zach be bringing up the Reds all the time. I'm like. And then,
don't want to hear it from him, though.
You don't. And then, like, I was like, I had his phone. I was looking up tee times, and, like, his dad texts him, you know, while I'm holding the phone. Uh-huh. And it literally says, like, I guess he had told him we're going to the Astros game. And his dad's like, we'll be there for the World Series when the Reds take it down. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Already?
Very ambitious.
Already? Bro. It's opening day.
Last year, their starting pitchers had a 5.43 ERA.
They probably felt like they pitched pretty good. I'm sorry.
Hunter Green he's got the tools, but he just gets shelled because they sit for his fastball. Andrew Abbott was promising in half a year, but then it's like Nick Martinez and Frankie Montas are their other starting pitchers right now.
They need to find some pitching, develop some pitching. They need some guys.
But in the same way that folks don't want to go hit in Marlins Park.
Yeah, nobody.
Do you
want to
go pitch in Great American?
Yeah, it's pretty much a little league park. Like, ball just soars out of that thing.
They signed Jamer Candelario, which I think is interesting given that he's generally playing infield, and they have
a lot of infielders.
A lot, yeah.
A lot of infielders. They already had a lot before him, like trying to figure out who was going to play where. Yeah, they're kind of loaded.
Yeah, Matt McClain, 290, 357 in 89 games. Spencer Steer, Jonathan India, Ellie De La Cruz.
Dude.
Like, throw Ellie De La Cruz a breaking ball, and he just whiffs. But
yeah. Like, big whiff.
I think it's ambitious to say that all of these guys are going to perform, but you can see a path forward with them.
Right. I know I made the joke of, like, the 2 years away from being 2 years, or whatever, 3 years, but, like, they really could. If they play their cards right, they don't rush
the Reds.
Them. Yes. yeah. I could see it. They're on a good path. You got to hope that they don't mess this up because they have a shot.
Yeah. Again, wide open division. Kind of feel like anybody has a chance.
Mm-hmm. I do like Cubs probably the most.
Yeah.
Reds could be fun. Reds could be hot, but Reds could also just fizzle again. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
young. We'll see.
Again, a 5.43 starting pitcher ERA is not something that gets you all the way through a season.
Usually doesn't. Could be three quarters.
Okay, and let's go over to the West. We'll lead off with the Rockies. There's not a whole lot to say here. As always, our policy is to talk exactly about each team as they deserve.
Coors Light.
They've got a couple good players. They've got Brendan Rodgers, Ryan McMahon, Kyle Freeland's an okay pitcher.
But that's about it.
Yeah. Who's their center fielder? Brenton Doyle. Brenton Doyle can go and get it, which is something you absolutely need in that expansive outfield.
Yeah, you need four outfielders out there usually. But
And Nolan Jones, also pretty good, led the team in home runs and stolen bases, 2020, I think.
Cool jerseys, maybe?
Good place to watch a game.
Yeah, but probably fun. Probably a very fun ballpark.
If you were a hitter, you want to make contact in Coors Field, right?
Yes.
And if you're a pitcher, you want to avoid contact in Coors
Field. At all costs.
Here's some dumb statistics in terms of this team's composition. Rockies batters led the NL in strikeouts. Rockies pitchers were last in the NL in strikeouts.
That's tough. That's
not a good recipe.
Probably considering that they can't move the ballpark or where they play, you know, that's probably a poor way to construct a team.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so pretty clear that the Rockies are going to finish last. If they finish anything better than that, it's a miracle.
I would be surprised, yeah. I don't think it'll happen.
All four other teams in the division are competitive and thinking wild card at worst.
All of them are thinking we're in.
Yeah.
Which they can't, but they're well...
They could. But it means that the Phillies can't jump up and bite anybody.
Which, you know, we know they will, but whatever. We're already over those guys. Yeah. Suck it.
To me, the most confusing vibes come from the Padres.
Agreed.
Owner Peter Seidler died, so they're kind of, and in addition with a TV deal uncertainty, they're kind of in a holding pattern.
Yeah.
They let Blake Snell walk, but then they become disc golf thirst trap home field advantage to Dylan Cease.
Yeah, I've had like four people be like, dude, where'd that disc golf pitcher go? I'm like, bro, he's with the Rockies. Just lying, giving them a different team every time. Yeah, they're strange. They got caught up, I think, trying to keep up with LA for a few years with the payroll, and then they've had to make some tough decisions.
Yeah, and Seidler knew he didn't have long. He was battling cancer.
He was trying,
and
he wanted to see it.
And that's what you want out of an owner.
Yeah, no, you can't be really. You can be upset, you know, as a fan, if you're a devoted fan, like. Team doesn't perform, it's a bummer, but your owner tried, and there are a lot of teams where they're frustrated their owner doesn't try. So
yeah, for sure. So like I still do see a path for them, but it's just like why have we spent the last 2 years thinking that this is going to be the team, and then it never has been?
Yeah.
So their starting rotation now includes Joe Musgrove, Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish, and Michael King came back in that Juan Soto trade.
Yeah, Darvish, super solid, man. Had a lot of hype when he came over, you know? And, like, I think, like, everybody always thinks, oh, this is going to be the next guy. Mm-hmm. But he's been super steady. Give him props. He's always right there. He's always solid. He eats up innings.
Throws 11 pitches or something.
Yeah. I don't know. He makes up. Like, I feel like he's six of them are just, like, shit he makes up and goofs off. But, yeah, he's super solid. Musgrove solid. They could ride those guys a little bit.
Interesting infield composition. Last year we slagged on them for having so many shortstops. This year, yeah. They are moving Ha-Seong Kim over to shortstop, uh-huh. Which is awesome. The guy was a down ballot contender in NL MVP because of his defense and solid hitting.
Yeah,
they're moving Xander Bogaerts over to second base. Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to play in right field.
Uh huh. Good for him, by the way.
They still have Manny Machado at third base.
Still got Manny being Manny. Wait, wrong Manny.
Wrong Manny. But like in a way, still is Manny.
Yo, I got a cute story for you, man.
Hit me.
So my brother, I got two older brothers. One of them, my nephew Declan, big baseball fan, loves the Padres. Manny Machado.
Is he from?
No, it's just his team.
Okay.
I don't know how it happened. My brother, like,
Little League jersey.
Yeah, something. They collect cards. Like, that's just his guy. Manny became his guy. They flew to San Diego last year for a couple games. And Declan makes a sign. He goes down to the field. He's got this sign for Manny. And, dude, Manny sees it, and he gives him the nod while he's warming up, dude. And my nephew just starts bawling, just crying. Like, and my brother thought, like, something was wrong because, like, he stayed up and, like, let him go down to the field. Like, mm-hmm. the security guy let him go down there with the sign. And he's like, what's wrong? And he goes, he looked at me.
Who's the last disc golf kid you made cry?
Dude, it's been a few. I don't know. Probably Junior Worlds, like at Emporia about 3 years ago. Went across the line, but it's all right.
Yeah. They signed Yuki Matsui and Woo Suk Go out of Japan and Korea, respectively. Mm-hmm. Interesting reliever pickups. Hopefully anchors that bullpen.
Yeah, to go with solid starting pitching. Mm-hmm. Not amazing, but solid.
And then there are three Jacksons. Jackson Chourio for the Brewers. Yeah. Jackson Holliday for the Orioles might mm-hmm. come up soon. And yep. then Jackson Merrill had a really, really big spring training and is reportedly going to be their opening day center fielder.
Yeah, I think they might be better by subtraction, you know, like letting pieces walk and making the trade. I think they could, I actually do think they will be better.
You think they were relying too much on Soto?
Mm-hmm.
And okay.
he, and let's be honest, I think it's fair to say when he was there, minus like the end of the season, he kind of turned it on the second half of the season a little bit, but he wasn't, he kind of was a letdown after the trade getting him over there.
Yeah. It's an example where like his WAR was pretty good for the whole season, but you never felt like he was shredding.
No, you didn't feel like he was even getting close to what, but also the level he was at in Washington, I think it's hard to live up to that, but.
But in Washington, there weren't expectations of performance.
There were none. He was a kiddo getting to play again alongside all these ballers who were already there. That's true.
Let's leave the World Series runner-up until last, just out of respect. The Giants.
I was going to say the Giants. I like the Giants, man. They're being sneaky. Sneaky, 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 very good additions. And, like, I feel like you always, like, people underestimate the Giants. And then
I want to be a dissenting opinion here.
Okay. You don't like it.
I don't. Okay. So they won 107 in 2021, right?
Right.
They
somehow, I don't know how, but they did.
Snapped the Dodgers streak of division titles. And since then, they receded back to 81 wins, then 79.
Yeah.
Their formula in that 2021 season, I think, was all of their platoon players had career years. And you can't count on that as a formula.
No.
And like, okay, Logan Webb was really good as a starting pitcher last year.
Yeah.
But it's their batters just didn't get the job done last year. A couple big signings. They got Matt Chapman, 3 at 54.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Snell, 2 at 62. And Jorge Soler, 3
at 42.
I
think Blake will be there 1 year, though.
We'll see how he does.
Yeah, I know.
Obviously, that's good for them. And then Jordan Hicks going to switch over to the rotation, 4 at 44. The last time he pitched 105 innings was 2017.
Oh, wow.
Curious. They'll get a little bit of help with Robbie Ray coming back from injury at some point. But it's just like,
they didn't add, like solid signings, but they didn't land the big guy. Even though Blake Snell, I guess you could argue, is a big-time pitcher. But I'm actually not very high on Blake. I think he's a solid pitcher, but if he's your one and he's a guy who can literally only give you five innings every time, it's not great. But, I mean, I think as adding those pieces, if they all pan out, I think the Giants are very solid. But, again, the way you word it, like maybe the Padres over to, like, kind of put them down the list a little bit in the division. I mean, I could see that because I do like the Padres and what they've done. But
yeah. Couple weird stats that have been making the rounds. Michael Conforto, their 18th consecutive opening day starter in left field, who was a different player. Good. That dates all the way back to Barry Bonds.
Dear God.
Also dating back to Barry Bonds, 2004 was the last time a Giants player had 30 or more home runs in a season.
Damn. The Panda didn't get there?
Never did. So I guess you're kind of counting on like Jorge Soler or Matt Chapman to just swing for the fences.
Yeah, I mean, Chapman's solid, I guess. He got good money. He's a good player, though. He's a good ball player. Mm-hmm. He stays healthy.
Interesting signing to play center field, Jung-Hoo Lee. 6 years, $113 million. What do you think?
I guess time will tell.
He's got a sweet swing.
Yeah.
Sweet swing.
You just hope it's like it's there,
mm-hmm.
you know? Kind of hope he puts it all together. We'll see. I mean, I kind of hope he's pretty. Oh,
I can see how this team can win 90 games. I don't see how they can get a whole lot past that.
No, they're not going to win 100 and whatever again.
No.
But
no. Okay.
Maybe the division beats up on each other, though.
So you
know, Rockies beating up on everybody.
Somehow the Rockies. Yeah. All right. Let's jump over to the Dodgers, who definitely won the offseason. Now it's kind of like World Series win or bust.
Has to be. Like, it's almost like sweep the World Series or bust. If they lose a game, people are going to lose their shit. What's happening?
Yeah, just huge expectations. And the biggest among those comes from Shohei Ohtani, who signed for 10 years, $700 million, with $680 of that deferred.
I know. That's when I saw he deferred it, and I'm like, that's so annoying.
I mean,
I'm like, great for you. Like, let your team also put together. But it's also like, fuck you.
I mean, they're just hoping that the salary cap continues to climb and climb and climb. And again,
I mean, we still got Bobby Bonilla getting paid like $1 million a year. Atta so boy. Yeah.
I celebrate Bobby Bonilla Day.
Dude, what a guy.
I also celebrate Kevin Elster Day. Coming up April 11th, that is the day that Kevin Elster hit 3 home runs against the Dodgers. I believe that's still the only 3 home run game in Oracle Park history.
Is that so? What do you do, like 3 shots every like?
No, I just like.
Okay.
Way to go, Kevin Elster. You did
got
the
a shotgun 3
the
beers.
Yeah, sure.
And yell Kevin.
God damn.
Kevin!
So that was the big signing. Currently, some unknown controversy involving his interpreter.
Very interesting. Kind of, it's hard to be, to just take him for his word, because maybe he didn't know, but that's kind of hard to believe. And then I've seen a lot of talk, like people saying, dude, Shohei would never do that. And I'm like, what
How
do
you
we
know?
Know about Shohei? We didn't know he was married until like a month ago or
his dog was
ago.
A big reveal.
Yeah, hey, Shohei has a wife. Let's not think that he's out here, you know, gambling. I'll probably, like, I don't know, man. Maybe he didn't. But did you see the Pete Rose quote? Did you see what he said?
No, but I'm always very interested in the logical and not self-serving opinions of Pete Rose.
Dude, man, this guy comes up selfie and they're like, what do you think about Shohei? He goes, I should have had her interpreter back in the day.
I mean, in I have to believe that MLB has so much invested in the success and marketability of Shohei Ohtani.
There's no way,
that
right?
They won't go after him.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to take the fall for him.
That's what I think. I think that they can't have something happen to this guy. Like, they will sweep this under the rug. They will do what must be done. I feel like I saw a video of, like, Shohei and his interpreter buddy, like, the day, like, the spring training game before. They're, like, chopping it up in the clubhouse and laughing and giggling or whatever. And then all of a sudden the story came out. I'm like, bro, this is just weird. It's a weird story. It's kind of hard to believe. Oh, we had no clue.
Yeah.
It's just hard to believe. Maybe he didn't, though. Maybe he just lets people take control of just millions of dollars and doesn't care what happens to it.
The Dodgers have historically been very forefront at signing star Japanese players in particular. Mm-hmm. Like, go
Chan
down
Ho
the
Park.
He was Korean.
Sorry, my bad. That's a miss.
Going down the list, Hideo Nomo, Kenta Maeda, Kazuhisa Ishii, Takashi Saito, Hiroki Kuroda,
I
all of
the
those
tall
the
socks
first
from
first team that they signed with was the Dodgers in the MLB. And there have been several others that have come over to play. Yu Darvish spent a couple of years there. And the newest among those, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. How do you feel?
Lots of hype. Got all kinds of crazy pitches.
Got a lot of stuff.
Spring training. He got tagged a little. That's okay, though.
And in the opening series against the Padres.
Did that start?
Yeah, they had one like a week ago in Korea.
Oh,
yeah.
They were. Okay. Because I went to the game yesterday, but then didn't really. I've been keeping up with a lot of NBA playoffs and the push and all that, but I was trying to think. But yeah, he got tagged up a little bit. We'll see. He's got a lot of stuff, but he's also been pitching for a little bit over there, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
He could be nasty, and he could be just a solid player.
Yeah. I'm a little bit worried about the depth overall. Like, so much attention is being paid to their top end, but you're relying on Tyler Glasnow to stay healthy the whole year.
Who has he ever?
No, not really.
No.
You know that Bobby Miller, James Paxton, and Emmett Sheehan are going to be ready for you. You'll get Walker Buehler back at some point, but like...
Hopefully.
Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, Clayton Kershaw, those guys are out for quite a while. And, I mean, surely they have somebody in AAA who's ready to go, but...
Probably, but yeah.
I don't know.
Pitching's been an Achilles heel for them last couple years.
Yeah. They skipped on Urias, kind of let him go because there was a DV issue near the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
They let JD Martinez walk. They did trade for Teoscar Hernandez, or maybe they signed him as a free agent.
Yeah.
there's still some confusing things in this lineup to me.
Yeah, they're flashy.
You know that Shohei's going to be DHing. You got Freeman at first base. And I think last year I was extolling the virtues of having the Chris Taylors, Max Muncys, who could fill in and play a whole bunch of positions.
Yeah.
And now you've got your Gold Glove right fielder,
like,
who played second base.
Hall of Famer right fielder.
Now playing shortstop every day for you.
He seems very excited for it, though. Like, he's stoked. He thinks this is where he wants to be.
And Mookie loves a challenge.
Yeah.
But playing Mookie Betts at shortstop is a lot more demanding than Mookie Betts in right field.
Way more. And Mookie Betts in right field, he was going to the plate and tearing it up. So we'll see. I actually am a big Mookie fan. I'm not a Dodgers fan, but it's hard to not root for Mookie. You know, he has fun playing baseball. I love the bromance with him and Freddie. Miss Freddie. Matt had a hell of a year. Love Matt. Really miss Freddie.
No
love
doubt.
The guy.
No doubt. When Shohei went to the Angels, I said, I'm sorry for your loss, but I hope he wins one. Because, like, they just have such a collection of nice boys who I would like to see succeed.
Yeah.
And then last person to talk about, Will Smith. They just extended him 10 years, 140. I believe that's the longest deal ever given to a catcher.
Has to be by a few years, right?
Yeah.
Has to be.
That dude is solid.
He is. And he's got that fiery, like, he's a competitor. I like him. He's got that, like, little 16-year-old, like, sweet, you know, chubby cheeks face, you know, whatever. But he's a killer. I despise him in the playoffs. He seems like he comes through with big hits.
All right. Well, Dodgers won the offseason. Now it's up to them to figure out how to do it all regular season and figure out the playoffs.
And I forget Shohei will, you would think, eventually be added to that staff. I keep thinking of him as a hitter.
He's out this entire year.
Out for this entire year. And but eventually, you would think in that contract, he's going to be your ace.
Exactly. You sign him for 10 years figuring that he will be able to do both.
I hope he can because it's special.
Yeah.
Special to watch.
I know this is a 2024 preview, but they still have a really, really good young core.
Youngish, yeah.
Youngish that should be competitive for several years. And even if there's a couple down years in, like, let's say 5 and 6 years of Otani's contract,
yeah,
they probably have enough firepower to reload for 7, 8, 9, 10 in there.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got that planned out. You would think they've got this mapped out.
Yeah. Okay, and let's swing over to the Diamondbacks. Negative run differential in the regular season, made the playoffs, and then got hot at the right time, made it to the World Series.
Yeah, Corbin Carroll show.
Yo, that guy.
He's a player.
Yeah.
He does it all.
They've got a pretty interesting set of outfielders. In addition, they've got Alec Thomas, Jake McCarthy, Randall Grichuk is going to be out for a little bit. They signed Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and our old friend Jock Peterson.
Jock, probably going to, you think he's going to have, like, be rocking snakeskin boots now that he's walking into Arizona?
Whatever it is, it'll be swaggy.
Yeah, it'll be swaggy. He's Jock, man. He's fun.
Additionally, Gabriel Moreno, 23 years old, gold glove catcher. You like everything about
him. They're full of just very good players.
Mm-hmm.
They're full of good players. And it's like, do they get better? Do a couple of them take an extra step of, like, slight improvement where they've been working at their craft all offseason? We'll see. If they do, dangerous, and they're pushing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then you could also see, like, maybe some two or three things not go their way. A couple guys have a step back, and then it's like, uh-oh, we're in the 80s, 82 wins.
I think it's a little bit concerning that they don't really have power guys. Like, Christian Walker hits 2025. Corbin Carroll, 2025.
Mm-hmm.
They
kind of play like old school baseball a little bit.
It's definitely speed oriented, which, you know, there's a track record for that. But, like, you're playing in a ballpark that it's the second or third highest above sea level.
Yeah.
Like, balls do want to glide out of there. Eugenio Suarez, they traded for him from the Mariners. And he whiffs a lot, but he does hit some bombs. So maybe that can add some power to the middle of that lineup.
Yeah, that would be helpful. They do have, like, a lot of 20, 25 guys, just good players. There's nothing wrong with hitting that many, you know, in a 162-game season, but they're all kind of like, yeah, that same mold.
Mm-hmm. And then the pitching staff. I really like this pitching staff. Zach Gallen, very clearly an ace after, you know, the last 2 or 3 years of his performance.
Yeah.
Merrill Kelly is a fascinating story because he almost washed out in the minor leagues. And then went to, I think, Korea for a couple years, and then came back, and now is great. I got to see him pitch and get thrown out of a game last year for arguing balls and strikes.
That's awesome. That's so funny. Oh, I love it.
They also signed Eduardo Rodriguez for 4 years, $80 million, and Jordan Montgomery for at least 1 year, but an opt-in after that if it vests.
It'd be nice to see that division just beat each other up. It really would. It would.
But at the same time, you could plausibly see four of these teams making it to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, the Giants could win 90.
They also could win 78.
78, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, like, the Diamondbacks, I think, played a little bit over their heads to get to the World Series.
It did seem that way.
But I can squint a little bit and see it happening again.
Yeah, they're on the rise. It would have to be just an unfortunate set of circumstances where they take a step back.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we're going to put Zach on the record here. Give me three division winners and three wild card winners.
Should I try to work this in reverse and curse them and say Phillies? No, I'm just kidding. Braves. Braves.
Okay.
Braves. I'm just going off no injuries, nothing, you know, who I think should. I'm going to say Dodgers because they probably should.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cubs.
Okay.
I do.
And then three wild cards.
All right. I'm going to go Padres.
Okay.
Phillies.
Okay.
And Diamondbacks.
All right. And out of that mess, who advances to the World Series?
Bravos. I'm feeling it.
Okay.
I'm hoping. I got to. No. Okay, no. No, I mean, that's who I want to see go. Who do I really think? It's like, if LA finds pitching, they're a monster.
Mm-hmm. All right.
They do, but.
Well.
I'm going to say Braves and Dodgers in the NLCS.
Okay. This fucking homer gives you his picks.
Yeah.
Zach, thank you so much for coming on, talking baseball for an hour. I know you'll be watching for more than an hour this entire season.
This is true. Can I ask you a bonus question?
Hit me.
Does Trevor Bauer make it back to the big leagues?
Boy, I tell you what, it seems like...
That's an interesting situation.
You know how... This is like a little bit of a third rail, but yeah. There were several teams interested in Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of credible allegations against him.
A lot.
And the Browns and the Falcons and a few others were kind of moving heaven and earth to pay that guy.
Not just to get him and be like, we'll give you a chance. But no, they're like, no, we want you. Take all our money.
Yep. And
that was really before anything was proven or not proven.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
With Bauer, there's a lot of... He's been very active in denying allegations. Mm-hmm. And one of them was dismissed.
Yep.
But
the text messages, right?
I'm not mistaken, there are still a couple allegations that are outstanding. It's surprising that if six NFL teams were willing to pursue Deshaun Watson, it's surprising that there wouldn't be one
to take a chance
on Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, because he's a good pitcher. Did you see him beat the Yankees the other day?
I did not.
Yeah. It was like in the last week, I think, a little preseason game. He was pitching for...
some independent team, right?
Dude, I want to say it was like a Korean or Japanese game or something like that. Yeah, it just was like a little matchup in the little preseason thing and got a dub against the Yankees.
So
he can still pitch.
With the MLB being, Wander Franco's not playing baseball this year.
Maybe ever.
And there have been a couple others. Like I mentioned Odubel Herrera earlier. There have been a couple others who it seems like baseball is on a zero tolerance DV policy right now.
Yeah.
And if one team isn't willing to break that line, that probably means that they know something.
Yeah.
And
they know more than the NFL.
Like, there have been a lot of players over the years who teams are willing to overlook stuff. You know, the entire steroid era
baggage.
Is that.
Baggage.
Albert Bell was an absolute jerk.
Oh,
Robbie Alomar spit in an umpire's face. Like, you've got some legends of the game who people knew they were bad dudes at the time,
mm-hmm.
and they overlooked it because they would help teams win ball games.
Because they could go out
games.
On the field and do good things. Yeah.
But if the Dodgers aren't going to sign Julio Urias after his performance, then that tells me that they're not going to sign somebody with allegations like Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
And I'm not a journalist. I have not really done first-person research into this. That's just kind of the vibe that I get, based on how other sports have treated stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. NFL, it does seem like, well, if you can help us on the field, you know. Whatever happens
in a public elevator, you know, is that public elevator's business.
Oh, my.
Yikes. Oh, all right, what a good note to end on.
No problem.
All right. Zach, thank you so much for spending your time. If folks want to support you, where can they find you?
If you want to support me, I have a tour series disc through Dynamic Disc just dropped in the last week. I have a local shop, Thermore Disc Golf Store. They put stuff on the website for me. Dr. Christy Disc Dive, she's another sponsor. These people support me, so supporting them helps me out, you know, and, you know, reach out, come out and say hi. Come buy a disc at a vendor village, you know, just come say hey to us. We appreciate it.
All right. And Zach, name a backup shortstop from the 90s.
Oh, you said 90s, and I wanted to say Jeff Bowser, but he's not a backup.
He was for a little bit.
Well, he was, but then, I mean, he made an all-star game, though. So can you call an all-star game? I mean, I'm going to say Bowser, but that's the first one I saw.
Kevin Stocker.
That's a wrap on this week's Fish Golf Broadcast. Join us next week to fritter away more of your ever-waning life force on two jabronis talking about Frisbee. Please support the show, if you're able, by shopping for fish stuff at fishdiscgolf.com, Daddy Disc Golf, Disc Hub, Tree Magnets, and Disc Golf Bra's websites. You can still save 10% at Grip Equipment with the code FISHGIFT10, and please tell a friend about this show. Unless you don't have any friends, but that's your problem, not mine.